You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey friends, it's Adam. This is The Conversation. As always, I am overjoyed that you specifically are tuning in. And hey, this is an episode you are not going to want to miss. I was able to connect with a spiritual giant. And I don't say that lightly, an absolute worldwide spiritual giant of our time. I cannot wait for you to hear our conversation. But before we get to that, though, I just want to share about one thing that God challenged me with big time this past week. And to give you some backstory, my wife and I, we have a guest house. A couple of years ago, we bought this old rundown drug house. We restored it. And so now we have this guest house that we use to bless different people with in our lives. But also, my wife runs an Airbnb out of the place. And so for the last 9-10 or so months, we've had these random guests staying at this house. And right now, Airbnbs are hot. And so the place has just been packed. Almost every night, someone is staying there. And for the last 10 months, all of our guests, including random strangers, have been amazing. So kind, so friendly, rarely asking for anything. When they leave, they can't say enough. They're like, we love this place. When we come back, we're staying here again. It's been amazing. So again, all of our guests have been fantastic. That is until this past week. This last week, we had a family show up, and within minutes, they started complaining. We got text messages, phone calls, direct messages. Hey, why don't you have this? Hey, why don't you have that? Within minutes, they started asking for random things. Hey, do you have this? Hey, can you go get that? Hey, this is missing. Can you go buy one of those things? Again, just over and over and over. And within an hour, I found myself internally just grumbling. It's like, go serve yourself. Like, yes, you paid for the Airbnb, but I'm not your servant. Go and do it yourself. Well, in the middle of me complaining, I began to hear God speak and him say to me, hey, Adam, it is easy to serve people who are easy to serve. Like, it's easy to serve people who are kind, who are thankful, who are patient. That's awesome. And anybody can serve someone who's easy to serve. But hey, Adam, you're one of my followers, right? Like, hey, Adam, you call yourself a Christian, right? Like, hey, Adam, you're one of my disciples. And as one of my disciples, I called you to serve everyone. Everyone. Not just the person who's thankful and kind and patient. I challenge you to serve everyone. And so, hey, Adam, in this moment, I want you to serve them. Oh my God, really? Like, that's what you want me to do? And so I just sat there wrestling internally. Again, my ego and my pride was just struggling. It's like, go serve yourself. But God was just like, no, I called you to serve them. You see, we have a God who said, I came to serve, not to be served. We have a God who humbled himself, became one of us. He humbled himself to the point of a cross. Not an easy thing, right? Now, obviously, if the person is abusive, if they're abusive in any way, that's completely different. This person wasn't being abusive in any way. They were just being needy. They were just being unkind and ungrateful. And God was just like, I want you to serve them. Today, who is the person that God wants you to serve? Anybody can serve the person who's easy to serve. Who is that person in your life right now that's maybe ungrateful, that's maybe got a bad attitude, that God's just saying, hey, I want you to serve them. Yes, anybody can serve people who are easy to serve, but guess what? You're one of my followers, and I've called you to serve everyone, and I've set the example of this by coming to serve myself, and I am God. Who is that person that God is just like, I want you to serve them? One of the most powerful things we can do is have a servant heart, to have the heart of a servant that's constantly asking, what can I do for others? God has served me so well that I can't help but serve the people around me. Not an easy word, right? And it's the opposite of what our world tells us. And yet it's the message that Jesus has for us. And I pray that God would speak to you and move through you today by the way that you serve. Hey, so the spiritual giant, this episode, I connected with Christine Kane. Oh my gosh. And we talk about the moments in life that turn our world upside down, the moments that shake us to the core, the moments in life that we can either run away from God or we can run towards God. And I was so grateful to have a spiritual giant like Christine share the good, bad, and ugly inside of her and just share so candidly and raw. I know it ministered to me. I have no doubt it's going to minister to you. And so as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Christine Kane, so excited to have you on the podcast today. I want to welcome you to the conversation.
Adam, I am so honored. And thank you for having me. I hope you understand my Aussie accent.
Yes, yes. Christine, we're going to jump right into your book, How Did I Get Here? And you share really from the heart about a difficult season that you walk through. If you wouldn't mind sharing us with us about that, and really it kind of made you question in a huge way your connection with God, even something I think all of us can relate to, but I'll just let you share.
You know, really, Adam, where it came out of is I kind of had what I call the perfect storm. And I think, you know, some people are thinking like, Chris, this comes out of your life. But I would say the last 4 or 5 years for everyone has been a very challenging, destabilizing year. There's just been so many shifts. I mean, in every realm of life, of course, this last year with a global pandemic, but even before that, politically, social injustice, environmentally, economically, I mean, everyone has felt shaken. I kind of feel what I went through at the end of 2016, 2017, and then wrote the book in 2018 to be out for now. The Lord was like preparing me for where everyone's going to be at. It was a moment where, you know, I was celebrating my 50th birthday, came home after celebrating with a whole lot of friends. I had 26 missed phone calls from my brother to tell me my mum had passed away in Australia that same night, you know, like, so, you know, and of course that for me, coming from a background of abandonment and adoption and abuse, it sort of just triggered a whole lot of things on the inside of me. At the same time, within this 3 month period, my sister-in-law, who was my age, passed away back in Australia, one of my husband's sisters and one of my husband's brother-in-laws. So there was a lot of death in just a very quick amount of time. I went through a personal betrayal, Adam, with a very dear friend. And, you know, most people over the last couple of years have just, you know, their friendships have been rocked, relationships have been rocked. But, and, you know, the psalmist said, it would have been easy if it was my friend that was against me, but when it was my enemy, but when it was my friend that went with me to the house of God, it was like, and I think a lot of us have been feeling that it's like, man, it would have been easier if it was the haters, but it's people that I did life with, people I went to church with. You know, it doesn't matter. You could be like me, thick skinned, but very tender hearted. You know, it rocks your world. Then just, you know, I run an anti-global human trafficking organization in 15 countries. So there's staff, there's life. And, you know, with some of those shifting currents, I don't know if you remember, Adam, 2016, 2017, it was really volatile. So if you are any kind of public figure, half the people think you're not saying enough about anything. The other half are thinking you're saying too much about everything. And the other half, I know there's not three halves, but, you know, you are not going to win. You wake up every day thinking, who am I going to disappoint today? Like, what is going to happen? I mean, it is just a cray cray world that we're living
in. Yes, yes.
And I got, so all this is going on. And I just remember this one day, my husband was watching like this Netflix show on the Navy SEALs. And he was saying in that, I was watching this scene. They dropped the guys out of the helicopter. The guys had to swim to shore. It was during Hell Week. And, you know, the whole goal of Hell Week is to make you quit and not finish. And so when they dropped him out of the helicopter, I remember saying to my husband, this is how I feel. I've always considered myself like in the Navy SEALs of the Christian church, man. We're on the front line. We're rescuing slaves. We're empowering women. We're like just doing the thing. And I said, it feels like I've been dropped out of the helicopter. And I know that I can swim. I know that I could make it to shore. But for the first time in over 30 years, I don't know if I want to. And the fact is, I had never been to this place where I thought, I don't know if I want to. And in that moment, I turned to my husband. I went, how did I get here? Like, that was the whole thing. Like, how did I who is so passionate. How, and this is what I was thinking, Adam. I wasn't thinking I want to go do anything bad or whatever. I was thinking, I did think I'm going to go buy a taverna in Santorini, maybe sell baklava and just talk to people about Jesus one-on-one and take, get off the internet and just have a nice life. I did consider that for a long time. And then there was this other thought that was, you know, what if I just take my foot off the gas, I've got so much momentum from 30 years that nobody is actually really going to realize. You know, I'm just taking my foot off the gas. Who's going to know? I've got this momentum and there's so little discernment out there. Nobody's really going to realize. It might take them 10 years before they think, you know. And then I just remember looking at Nick, tears streaming down my face going, but Jesus will know. Jesus will know that I took my foot off the gas. And ultimately, Jesus is worthy, Jesus alone. And it was like this comeback to this anchored moment of why am I doing this? Why am I in this? And the thing is, as you get older, Adam, you kind of are more aware of the cost. You know, you're in your 20s and 30s. You're like, let's go charge hell with a water pistol, man. Let's go and take the next hill.
Yes.
Let's do this thing. And then you get here and you're in a very public world and a very connected world and you know the cost. You know that, wow, the currents are shifting in society. You know, if you're going to hold certain values and if you're going to live according to a certain way, you're going to get hit. And there is, you know, you may as well draw a target on your head. And,
yes.
The world in which we live in is full on. So you've got to make a decision that, you know what, I've got to check my markers. My dad used to take us to the beach in Australia and this beach had a particular undertow that was so strong. And Dad would put up an umbrella and a whole lot of beach towels about, you know, 50 feet apart or whatever. I don't know what feet are. I was going to say meters, so whatever that translates to. And he'd say, you know what, the undertow is so strong, you're not even going to realize it. So what you have to do, kids, is check your markers really regularly. Look up for the towels and look up for the beach umbrella and stay between your markers because if you don't, whether you want to or not, you will drift. And he would say to us frequently, all you have to do to drift is nothing. And it was kind of like this moment in my life going, okay, how did I drift? I'm on the front lines. I'm going for it. How was there a sort of a mission drift or a purpose drift or this sense of like, do I really want to keep going? And where did I need to check my markers again? Because, you know, sometimes we end up drifting, like, you know, there were so many public cases of people drifting away from their faith, deconstructing their faith, walking away from their faith, or their marriages are drifting, or their relationships are drifting, or their health or their fitness. But all you have to do to drift is not do anything bad. You just do nothing. Do nothing and your marriage is going to drift. You know, you don't even have to have an affair. Just do nothing. You do nothing and your health will drift. And even for us in leadership, whether it's faith-based leadership or corporate leadership in any capacity, all you have to do for either your organization, your mission or your purpose or your passion to drift is simply do nothing and you will drift. That is inevitable. And so there's a lot of drifting happening because the currents are shifting in our world like never before. And so no matter what sphere of life you're in, you have got to be determined to drop anchor again and check that you really are anchored or you are going to drift. We are not going to make it in these volatile times.
No, everything you just said is so spot on, Christine. For that person who feels like they have drifted, how do we get back our anchor? What does that look like, practically speaking, for the person who's maybe new to church, doesn't know the lingo? Like, what does that actually look like?
My first thing, that wherever we're at, number one, you got to know, nobody has drifted so far from the love of God that you can never come back. Nobody. There is nothing that you have done. There is nothing that you have thought. There's nothing that you have said that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And here is even the better news. You might feel like, man, I'm out here. I'm drifting. I'm in the open seas. And Chris, how could God even find me out here? I'm like, honey, he's out there with you. It's okay. There, you are nowhere that God's not. And so that is fine. He is with you. He is for you. And I have found the big star, you know, it's not a whole list of things to do, but I've often found the prayer, the simple prayer, God, please help, is a really good place to start. You know, it's just like as simple as like, oh God, I have brought myself here. God, life sucks. I don't quite know how I got here. God, please help. I have found He is so good at hearing that and helping bring us back into His close heartbeat. And of course, in the book, I talk about, you know, you're not too far away from God. And there are certain checks. And the point is, if we can avoid drifting, that would be ideal.
There you go.
You know, so here are some good things to do that are going to stop you from drifting. Like, you know, if I can avoid my marriage going down the tank, that would be really helpful. Like, what are some things I can do that keep it on track? And so, of course, there's all that proactivity in the book. And then there's also this real sense of, look, I know things might be hard for you, praying, reading the Bible, going to church. I know there's been a lot of pain. I know there's been a lot of abuse. I know there's been a lot of hurt. I know people have let you down. Institutions have let you down. I know. There's no denial. There's no sugarcoating in all this. It's saying, listen, we've all been through a major, major storm in some way, shape, or yes. form in our lives. And some of those things that used to be markers, for some of us, they can be triggers. Let me help you understand why maybe they don't need to be triggers. At why church, you know, I say church, go to church for you. It may trigger a whole lot of stuff, or pray, that might trigger a whole lot of stuff. Or, and you know, the enemy would love that. The enemy would love to take what are great spiritual practices that help keep us anchored and turn them into triggers and reasons to walk away from God. Only the enemy would win for that. That's the whole point. And I see a lot of that happening in the church world at this point. And yet I think I just really wanted to go there and say, hey, there's a reason why some of this stuff God says is really good stuff to cling to. It's going to stop you from drifting. And here's why. And I think that my unpacking some of that, because I had to ask myself a whole lot of that. And when you do this thing for a living, you go start looking through everything and go, okay, let's really be honest.
Yeah.
Why do I go to church? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I pray? You know, where have I really stopped trusting God? There is nothing in there that I did not ask myself ruthlessly. Because I thought, I'm not playing games. The finish line is closer for me than the starting line. And so I want, this thing's got to be real. And if I'm going to fix my eyes, and I come to the end of it and I'm like, you know what? Jesus holds. That's the deal. Jesus holds. And I am fixing my eyes on Him. He is the author. He is the finisher. He is this hope I have as an anchor for my soul. And it's real. And like I'm willing to die for that. And you know, I went to a very dark place to really test that. And I'm like, it's real.
Yeah, Christine, I want to thank you so much for even right now just sharing so candidly to see someone in my eyes who's a spiritual giant. And I mean that in the fullest sense. Like, you're a spiritual giant for me. And to hear you, gosh, wrestling with some of these big things, there's something, it just like, okay, I'm not the only one. Like, there's just something so encouraging about that. I want to go to something you mentioned. I first heard you share it with Nikki and Pippa Gumble, and I was like, gosh, it just rang true with me. You mentioned that betrayal from a friend. I think that's something that so many of us can relate with. Myself, one of the deepest hurts I've ever experienced was really feeling betrayed by a friend. If I can ask, what did you learn? And how have you healed or are in the process of healing? It's probably not something where it's like, check that box, I'm healed.
That's I'm 4 years into that process. I'm way better than I was, but it almost derailed me. Out of everything, it came the closest thing to anything in my 30 years of Christianity of derailing me. So it was very, very real. You know, I can't even begin to express how deeply painful.
Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible.
I just don't even know what to say. It was so destabilizing, disorienting in so many ways. And I think with my background also of rejection and abandonment, it triggered a lot of all of that all over again in my life. I started to think, if I missed that, what else did I miss? And what else can I trust about my own discernment, my own understanding? That's what started to unravel me in that way.
Yes.
What else And that's what really made me have to evaluate everything, because I'm like, if I missed this, I mean, you know, with this person, what can I trust myself to discern in anything? So it was a process. So I went to Christian therapy for a while. That was very helpful because I was just so destabilized. And then it became a daily walk with Jesus. I mean, not daily, hourly. You know, like, and, you know, sort of it got better where it went from, you know, maybe every minute to every 5 minutes to every hour to every 2 hours. And today, as we're recording this, you know, I'm, I could go a couple of weeks and it's not triggering me. And so I'm feeling like I'm making progress, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I want to thank you for being so honest, because I felt like I had vertigo of my soul. And there's nothing worse than having vertigo. I mean, if you've ever had it physically, I have. It's terrible. I mean, just everything. And you move an inch and it just feels like it throws everything off. And that's how my soul felt. I want to kind of shift the conversation a little bit here. And one of my favorite things that I hear from you on a regular basis is staying in your lane. You know, because it's easy to say, Christine Kane, she came out of nowhere. Like, she just randomly... And you're like, no, I've been doing this for how stinking long? And I think all of us, even myself included, are looking for instant success, like instant gratification. Can you share your heart, just staying in your lane and the importance of doing that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it was Eugene Peterson that said that it's just like a long obedience in the same direction. I remember when I first came to America, mind you, I'd already been in ministry in Australia, you know, for whatever, 20 years. And people are like, oh my gosh, she's such an overnight success. I'm thinking, it was a really long night, like 2 days. But everyone, it was a really, really long night. And so it just makes me laugh. Nowhere in the Bible is there, you know, there are suddenlies in the Bible, but most suddenlies take about 15 to 20 years. And so, you know, David was anointed in 1 Samuel 16. Samuel anointed David, but he was not appointed to be king of Israel until 2 Samuel chapter 5. So it was 20 years and 20 chapters. Everybody forgets this. I'm like, honey, it was 20. I mean, in today's world, we would have taken a selfie after Samuel anointed us, put it on Instagram, hashtag future king. And I'm like, honey, I would not be hashtagging selfie right now. You got 20 years. You got a lot of spears coming at you. You got a lot of dark nights of the soul in the cave. And then you can put your little selfie up in about 20 years. And so, you know, that's the world that we live in. And I'm like, oh, there is no precedent in scripture for hashtag selfie future king of Israel. You know, it's not happening. There is always process. There is always, you know, our generation, we love our snap and upload because of we could take our pictures on our phones.
That's
we
right.
shove it on
That's right.
Instagram in 5 seconds. I think one of the blessings God gave me is that I'm old enough that, you know, we used to have, Adam, we used to have little films, rolls of film, man. You put a roll of film into a camera. You take a picture, you know, and then you would have to take the film to like Walgreens and you would pray in an envelope and you would have to pray and fast and intercede with all of the angels and the host of heaven, because you'd have to wait for 2 weeks before that thing came back. You didn't know if you took 24 pictures of your foot or if you actually took a photo or something. And during that time, they would take that roll of film, they'd put it in a dark room, and then they would the film would be developed in the dark room, and you would never open the door because the light would expose the film. So until the negative was properly developed, that the external light wouldn't destroy it, only then was it brought out of the dark room. But what we have is a generation that maybe they got the negative, maybe it was a prophetic word, a sense from the Lord during their quiet time that God's called them to something. Then the next minute, we're putting it out in the light. But if the light that is on you is stronger than the light that is in you, it will destroy you.
Oh my gosh. Encouragement to the person who feels like they're running in their lane and they have been faithful, but they haven't seen fruit yet. Like, any words to that person?
Yes. You know, my word would be Galatians 6. I think we're all in that season right now. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. The goal is not to quit. What the enemy wants you to do is to change lanes, jump ship, quit, because it makes you think that, you know, what you're doing is useless. You're not bearing fruit. You're never going to get your breakthrough. But you've got to understand that during all this time, it's not a waste of time. It's God is preparing you for the very thing that he's prepared for you. You are building spiritual muscle to carry the weight of what is ahead for you. And God is not a man that he should lie. If he promised it, he's going to do it. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. There is no dark side to God. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Yes, and amen. He who promised is faithful.
Yeah, I continue to be amazed by when it feels like something is dead, that's when God steps in and brings it back to life. We have a God who specializes in that, bringing dead things back to life. And I there's been so many times, Christine, where I've thought about giving up. I'll listen to a podcast sermon of yours or whatever, and it's like, all right, we're back in the saddle again. Let's go for it. Let's just keep on going. Last question I have for you, Christine, is what do you feel like he's teaching you right now? Is there something that God has placed on your heart for you? And also kind of a separate question, is there something that you feel like God has placed on your heart right now for the world?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't dare think that I've got that much to say about that. But what I do think, this is a season where the enemy would love us all to give up. And, you know, the writer to the Hebrews says, you will have need of endurance. And these are the days for which we will have need of endurance. But the fact is, I think we are on the verge of the greatest revival that we would have seen in my lifetime. I mean, God's cleaning house. It's a very painful season. There's no doubt about it. I haven't spoken to a Christian, a person anywhere that hasn't gone through a very, very difficult season. And the Lord, you know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, only those things that can be shaken will be shaken, so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. We have all been in a shaking the last 5 years. Yeah. There is no doubt. And I don't know that the Lord's finished, but I am sensing a shift. Like we're coming into a new season, you know, like a lot of things that were in the darkness needed to be exposed and have been exposed. And God's like, I'm not playing. This is it. And so the fact is that we should be people that love righteousness and love justice and love truth, and that we ought to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I think that we are, though, as we come out of the sort of shock of all of the shaking, there is going to be a real movement forward in love and grace and mercy, but with real intentionality to fulfill purpose and be about the Father's business.
Christine, thank you so much for everything. I, again, just want to honor you. If I could go back and edit the book of Hebrews, I'd go to the book of like the Hall of Faith, and I would add, by faith, Christine. And so wow. I just genuinely want to thank you for being on the conversation today. So much gratitude for you.
Adam, I'm so grateful. Both of you and Wendy, thank you.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.